Well, Done With Debt is a consumer advocate firm specializing in debt relief strategies. I have asked Michael Pearson to join me to share his strategies and advice for people that want to end their debt permanently. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So talk to us about credit card and loan interest rates have skyrocketed. How does this affect most Americans? Because we're all dealing with this.
Well, that's a great question. It's tough because it affects all Americans here. One thing that we always notice is that we can't control the interest rate. So your debt keeps building faster and faster. It's getting bigger and bigger. And what was once a manageable situation is now unmanageable. And with inflation going crazy, with just groceries, gasoline, rents, all the basic necessities, at some point something has to break and you realize that you're not going to get out of this debt maybe in years, sometimes decades. So it's tough.
Yeah. So a lot of people look to either get a loan or declare bankruptcy, but that can actually make it worse. I struggle with insomnia, Michael. I don't know if you do, because I know a lot of people, you go to bed waking thinking about your debt, you wake up thinking about it, or whatever your problems are. What's your advice for someone struggling with debt in general?
Go to donewithdebt.com, answer 3 to 4 questions, get in contact with us before you even make your next payment to that credit card. Before you call the creditors yourself, give us a call. There is hope. We will help you. Simply go to donewithdebt.com, fill out a couple questions. We'll have one of our experts call you right away. It's free at no cost to you. We don't charge anything until we start settling your debts. So what do you have to lose?
There you go. Easy peasy. That's a complex financial term that I hope you understand. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Wow! Hi, Scott Thompson.
Hi there. Cheers.
Hi.
Cheers.
Happy rusty nails.
Hey. Here. Come on, let's celebrate.
Wow.
Signing the Stevenson account.
Happy hour. Kids in the hall, Scott Thompson is in my house.
He's in your basement.
Right? And what's the first thing I just said to him to make him feel comfortable? I was like, he's like, I can't drink this whole thing. I'm like, don't be a pussy, Scott. Don't be a fucking faggot.
And then you proceeded to demonstrate your oral sex skills.
Well, you outed me. I am. I do. I was a Catholic girl. I give a fantastic blowjob. Listen, Scott, let's not
She's
start
still a
like
virgin,
this.
But she can give a great blowjob.
Yeah.
You're a virgin?
Let's get into that. I'm curious about you.
Are you like a gold star lesbian?
Yes. So you, well, Scott.
No, well, she's had a dick in her mouth.
But that doesn't count.
A lot. I mean, not at the same time.
We learned that from Clinton years ago. That doesn't count. So
right.
You
yes!
are gold star.
Because I'm a Catholic girl. I'm like, sexual relations means sexual intercourse.
Well, what about?
It does not mean.
Stephanie,
or,
may I ask?
Yes.
Anal? What about anal?
Because
I know a lot of Catholic girls used to do that.
An attempt in Italy.
Right.
When I was in college.
Right.
I was very lucky.
Because
there was a language barrier, and he didn't really understand when I said, like, no intercourse because I'm a Catholic girl and I don't want it until I'm married. And so then before I knew it, I was like, no, I didn't mean that.
That's not a language thing. It's an Italian thing. People don't know that, but Italian girls have a fused vagina and anus. It's like a cloaca.
That is not true.
Yes, it is.
I've never seen it, so I believe it.
I believe you. Are you a gold star homosexual?
No.
He was a farm boy from Fresno that boned every farm.
No, my husband is platinum. He was cesarean.
He's never even touched
the walls.
What?
Wow.
That's weird. Wow.
You've never heard platinum?
No, I never heard that.
Yeah, he's cesarean, so he came out the other way. He didn't.
Look at the child. We've already traumatized the child.
Are you gay or straight?
Heterosexual.
Straight. Have you ever been with a man?
I have not.
No, that's his girlfriend right there.
So it doesn't matter. Would that threaten her?
It would.
It does. It does. Maybe your generation not, but my generation completely. Right, Stephanie? We're talking.
Excuse me? No. I am their age. I don't know what you're talking about, Scott Thompson.
You are not 40.
No, I feel like, Scott and I feel like we know each other because I grew up in Buffalo. I started in the Yuck Yuck Circuit in, you know, Hamilton and, you know, Ontario, Toronto. Yeah.
Oh,
hi, Mark Breslin. How you doing?
Let's go shop at Top Supermarket. Oh, my God, Commander Tom.
You do a 20, a good middle, we'll send you up to Vancouver.
Mark, park the car. We're going to Rochester. Mark.
It's nothing better than the Buffalo
accent.
No one else knows the Mark Breslin. No one does the Mark Breslin. I answered the phone
at Yuck Yucks in Buffalo right outside.
Did
of
Did you really?
Yes. That was my first job, answering the phone at Yuck Yucks in Buffalo.
So did you start your career in Canada? Did you go over the border?
I did a lot, because you know, I was on the Canadian, or let me just say the Canadian side of the falls, better. Let's just settle that
Way
now.
Way better, thank you.
I lived outside of Niagara Falls.
Falls? They have the best accent. I love an upstate New York accent.
See, I've never understood this whole goddamn wall on the southern border. I've always thought we need a wall on the northern border because they're fucking funnier and they take all the best comedy jobs.
And we pass.
Motherfuckers.
We
all
pass.
Of them.
Yes. You don't see them coming.
Yeah. Unless we're from Newfoundland, then you can't pass. They can't pass in Canada.
So. I had to produce a newbie.
Do you feel like the Trump administration, this has been the most times the phrase, what the fuck is this, a boot, has been spoken in Canada?
I think so, although we don't say a boot. That's just such a weird misconception.
Is that a South Park thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love the South Park take on Canadians, but it doesn't remotely resemble reality,
right.
I don't think. Although, I mean, I do love those guys, but I've never really heard anyone say a boot.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
But did I say a boot just now?
You just did.
But I think you were saying it intentionally.
Yeah.
I was.
You haven't slipped on it.
Well, I remember you were talking about, because you re-released, which I fucking love, the Buddy Cole autobiography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you said originally people didn't want to review it. They didn't want to fucking
look up what
poutine is.
Yeah, no one's reviewed. In fact, the book is still, it's like 20 years old. It's pretty much gotten 2 reviews ever. No one's reviewed it. People will not review the book.
Wow.
I think that just, I think back then it was like, whoa, it's too gay.
Right.
Now it's like, it's not gay in the right way. So I might cop between the rock and the hard place.
I wanted to spell your myth because you said recently the left is the one that's gotten too politically correct. So
I
wanted to spell that right away by calling you a faggot.
Thank you, you big old dyke.
Oh, thank you. Carpet muncher to you, sir.
Right. It's my Contessa over there.
Thank you, Travis. You're just saying that to be sweet.
I rarely say that word, even though you accuse me of it all the time.
Which one? Dyke?
No, Contessa.
What?
Oh, Contessa.
Carpet muncher. What? Here's my point, Scott. Here's the one thing I didn't even know, and I was a huge Kids in the Hall fan. I didn't realize you were the only gay one.
I
think you're right. Everyone assumed they were all gay.
Just
because we wore dresses and kissed each other, why would you assume we're all gay?
I think that that's actually held all 5 of us back, which is actually interesting. For me, I kind of accepted the deal, even though I didn't quite know how bad of a deal I was making.
Right.
That being openly gay would kind of crush my career. But I knew that I had to do it. But the other 4 didn't sign up for that. So I have to really give them props for suffering for something they didn't have to suffer for.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, 20 years later,
those are gay allies, man.
Those are straight allies. Because those guys, they're my brothers.
Yeah.
Their careers didn't take off the same way everybody in my generation, you know, the people that we were part of.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. I think homophobia is so deep.
Yeah,
especially towards males in comedy, particularly. I think right now that it just was not going to happen.
Yeah,
not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I don't know why. I just did. I didn't even know that until I started researching. I was like, oh, I didn't realize. But you're right. First of all, I don't know why. Am I thinking of the right sketch? Putty Cole, my favorite, but the person. Am I thinking of the right? I hope I don't get the series wrong. Someone that threw up every time somebody gay was mentioned. The queen. Was that your queen or was it a different?
No.
Okay.
No, I think that's Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. All right. No, that was not
us. Well, it wasn't us. No one. There was one where Bruce was always throwing up when he would see things like the glimpses of a man's leg or an old egg salad sandwich or like
dried wax.
Projectile vomiting.
Just weird
funny.
Things that made him vomit. But then he could eat head cheese, right, on the toilet. So, which is not a sexual thing. That's an actual thing, just head cheese on the toilet.
You're still my favorite queen. I mean, well, in the Queen of England
and
is
I was
what
very
I mean
lucky.
By that.
I just recently did the queen for the first time in many years on Conan.
Yeah.
I'm back a long time, and I did the queen in a little bit they wrote for me. And that was exciting.
I've loved you in so many things. You did Buddy Cole for Olympic coverage for Colbert. You played, who's his assistant on Larry Sanders? You played
Brian.
Yes, Brian, the gay assistant.
For Hank's assistant.
What would the queen think of Trump? Or your queen?
I think, my queen would have a different reaction. I think they both would hate him. Definitely hate him.
I mean, everyone hates him.
But mine would, I think my queen would still probably party with him a little.
Yeah.
But the real queen, I don't think would not.
No.
My queen's a little unhinged. So
she'd fit in with him.
No, did you see the footage of the actual queen? He left her behind
him. That's the best when he's walking
in front of
her.
Camera and she's like, what an asshole. What a royal dick.
I love that old lady.
Royal dick.
She's hilarious.
She's a royal asshole. And I can see it quite clearly from behind him. Oh my God, he's such a dick. Okay, I can't. Scott, I can't even imagine what it's like. This shit show every fucking day.
But it's always been a shit show to Canadians. This is the thing.
I know.
I'm very sanguine about the whole thing. Also, because I think it might be my age. I feel like it's like, it's just coming around again. That's what I feel like. I remember the 80s, which is, and for me as a gay man, nothing will ever be as bad as what I went through.
Everyone we know died.
So that's right. So for me, everything's gravy. It's all a bonus round. Everything that people are upset about, I just go, get over it. Oh, please.
You're alive.
Like, that's what I'm
on. Buddy Cole was like a gay Donald Trump, right? That was the whole, like.
Well, gay. Buddy Cole is definitely not owned by any side. Right. Buddy Cole will not be owned by anyone. And that's why he's having a bit of a resurgence right now, because Buddy can get into the ring with a person like Donald Trump, and only Buddy's coming out.
Right.
And I think that's really important, because right now we live in such a victim age where everybody's a victim.
Yeah.
And you're defined by your oppression and how hard life was. And Buddy's like, look at this. You think this is easy? And I'm fabulous. So you should get on it too. That's really the message. And also, the left and the right have both become calcified.
Right.
The far left and the far right, in my mind, have become basically the same thing. And they're kind of similar.
All right, well, now
we're
going to have a fucking slap fight.
Well, that's all right. I love a slap fight. I love it. And I think people need... I mean, let's talk about white people in particular.
All right.
I think white progressives on the far left have kind of retreated into a self-loathing position where white people are awful and they can't do anything right and white people are the worst things ever happened to this planet, which is a form of racism. Now,
not
on the
all white people.
I know, but I'm talking about the far left.
MAGA people say the N word.
That's right. And the far right.
Stop screaming at me.
The far right has retreated into another thing, which is racial superiority, where white people are amazing.
Yeah.
But they're both wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe they're both keeping all the rest of us who are just regular people of every color trying to get along. That's really what I believe, that we're being held hostage by extremists on both sides.
This is why you do what you do best, which is piss everyone off.
I know!
Which is why you are really
you
the gay Donald Trump. Because you were talking about the Me Too movement, and you're like,
I make jokes about
men
everything.
Do, but you talk about toxic femininity in your show because you're like, it's become man-hating. I don't hate men. I love men. I have sucked more polls than you have.
No, you haven't. I sucked more polls last night.
What? Okay. I challenge you as a Catholic girl. Because it was the thing to prevent having to have go all the way.
That's
and
true.
Men are fine with it. They're like, okay, fine.
Men are, of course they are. Of course they are.
You just had a blow off.
But anyway,
we did have a blow off. I had a blow off with Scott Thompson. But no, here's the other thing you said. All right, I have so much to fight with you about.
I would love
I feel like we're gonna have fucking hot makeup sex after this. But you've talked a lot about in interviews about there's never been an openly gay male comic
never.
The star, not one. And you talk about there's gay women, obviously, Ellen and Rosie,
of them.
And yeah. Well, I don't know if this is stardom. Lots. I look in my basement. But no, you were talking about gay men. Explain what you meant. That they are not as supportive of other gay men.
Gay men are not. Gay men are not at all supportive of other gay men. Not at all. In fact, most gay men work actively to stop other gay men.
Okay,
gay men hate themselves.
I'm going to fight with you because I've had this conversation with Aisha Tyler and a lot of female comedian friends of mine. There are also mean girls in comedy.
Of course they are, but they aren't as a...
I have had female comics actively trying to ruin my career. I mean, and
sounds
I've
like
had,
gay men.
But that's what I'm saying.
We're
I've
the
had
same.
Other female comics say the same thing. There are girlfriends in comedy.
Right.
Women like, you know, me and some other women I know that are very supportive of other female comics. And there are women, straight, whatever, that are bitches, that are
of
competitive,
course.
That think you're trying to steal their,
yes.
you won't, their career, their yeah. man, their whatever. So I would say there's the same.
But Stefan, you still haven't named for me one single openly gay male
Scott
comedy
Thompson.
Star. I am not a big comedy star. That is ridiculous. I am a cult figure. I am not a comic.
My YouTube thinks you are right now because of all I watched last night.
I'm just not. No, I'm just not. And there's no one. There never has been. So you can say all you like, but the facts are in my favor.
Okay, I know what you mean about being a little ahead of your time.
As
you said, it's good to be the third person through the door, not the first one, because people were always like, oh, you were ahead of your time with your late night show. And I'm like, it's not good to be ahead of your time. You need to be on time, or you end up in your basement.
Does anyone talk about Stephanie Miller being the first female talk show host? So there you go. There's no money in it, although you're doing quite well.
I feel like we're going to end up just this happy hour, just weeping and holding each other.
But you wanted to agree with me.
Yeah. So you're a gay man.
I know some mean girl gays, but I also know some that are very supportive and very there for you too. I think it goes both ways. It depends on where you're at. But there are some.
I'm talking I'm generalizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I look out in my crowds, I see almost no gay men. My crowds are almost entirely devoid of gay men.
Wow.
And that is true. Gay men will support only women. Gay men only go to see female comics.
I do have huge
I bet you have
gay
a huge,
male
I
audiences.
Do not, Stephanie. Yeah, yeah. There's something wrong with that. Gay men will only support another gay man if he's a prostitute,
porn star,
or a drag queen. They will not support a man as a man.
But I thought gay men don't like gay women, because I get tons of gay male fans.
Because you're femme, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're attractive.
Is that it?
If you were a big old dyke, like a big bull dyke, I don't think they'd be... flocking to you. I'm not allowed to say that.
No, this is interesting. No, it's an interesting conversation because I don't know.
But what about Leah Delaria?
But then why?
Leah Delaria, they love. Now, Leah Delaria has a huge gay male following as well.
Yeah.
And she is she's one of my best friends, so I can call her a bull dyke anytime I want. In fact, she loves me too.
If you called her femme, she'd slap you.
She would. She's absolutely.
Actually, she'd clock
you. No, she knows she has the only episode of my late night TV show that did not air. It was the Thanksgiving show.
That's
I've told this story before. Disney produced my late night show, and she came on for the Thanksgiving show, and she said, "Can I shove a turkey baster up you?"
Oh, Lord.
And that was the only show that Disney's like, "We're not airing that." It just went away. The whole episode went away.
I'd love to see
and,
that.
Because I wasn't out, you know, when I was obviously lipstick, and I wasn't an out gay woman.
You were allowed. You could pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold that thought, Scott. Travis, I can only imagine what is in Scott Thompson's browser.
Oh, he's got to clear that history all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He needs ExpressVPN. With all the recent news, you know what I'm talking about. Security breaches, hard not to worry where all your data goes. Making an online purchase, simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You are being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, your mobile internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history. Eek. But they can often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your information. We took back our privacy, right? Using ExpressVPN.
People, if you had ExpressVPN, you would not be able to tell if you're downloading this podcast that you're listening to right now.
Yeah.
You could secure your own podcast.
Filthiness, exactly. ExpressVPN, easy to use apps. They run seamlessly in the background on my computer, phone, or tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection takes one click. Scott Thompson seems like someone that really needs a lot of protection.
Don't tell him what kind of cookies are on there.
Right. Okay. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing, encrypts your data, hides your public IP address, and protecting yourself with ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month.
Less than $7 a
month? Yes, less than $7 a month. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee if you use public Wi-Fi. I mean, that's
ridiculous
a little
and
slutty.
Dumb.
But if you do, you want to protect all of your data from hackers and spies. ExpressVPN is the solution. Protect your online activity today. Do it now. Find out how you get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Stephanie. That's expressvpn.com/Stephanie for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Stephanie to learn more. Don't say I didn't warn you, Scott Thompson. So
anyway, but lesbians are, to me, in terms of social groups, the most supportive of all groups.
Gay women.
Gay women
okay.
are so
yeah,
supportive
well, no,
of
I mean,
each
actually,
other.
The women I'm thinking of in comedy are straight, that are very, can be very competitive and bitchy and
but
undercutting of
men,
other
no.
female
comics. I mean,
yeah.
there really isn't a single gay star, not one. And there's never, no, there just isn't one. And I think that that's part of it. The reason is because society will, when you have a minority group whose minority group doesn't support you, you're just not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you're a superstar.
No, I'm not.
In my
well, that's nice, but
no, I get.
You were legendary for me because as a gay guy who even before I even knew I was gay, I was like,
how's that possible?
I'm that.
I just did from Fresno. That's why. Oh, okay. But I remember like being like, I am fascinated by this character,
but you didn't know why.
But there's no one like that in my world,
right?
And it was like, and then I like came out and I was like, then I'm at like Flicks the Video Bar in San Diego and you're on the big screen up there. And I'm like, oh, this is why I
Travis,
love this.
Travis, like gay men never supported me.
But this is why, this is fast. I've heard so
I've
many
never been
interviews.
Mentioned by GLAAD. I've never been mentioned in my career. That's something. Take that.
That is,
that.
Weird. Smoke no,
that
is this is interesting.
Not mentioned.
I've
That's
read
something.
So many of your interviews. You said when people would tell me I was their favorite on Kids in the Hall, it was like, if it was a straight male, they'd whisper it. Like it was a dark
yes.
secret. Don't tell anyone I like you as much as Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was trying to prove they weren't a fag.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, I guess it was a different era.
Oh, my Lord. See, this is, like, you, young man, mm-hmm. you might not, that's hard to believe, but that's absolutely the way it was. A straight man could never admit that they liked me, because that would cast aspersion on their sexuality.
Yeah,
I believe that.
And that's absolutely true. But it's much different. You have a much different generation now. But my generation, you just could not. The worst thing that a man could be was a gay man. That was the worst thing. You fell from grace. You were garbage. And so it was very much. Now straight guys in front of their straight friends will say they love me. And that's a remarkable change.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
I mean, we have made progress, but
it's
interesting. When
this
you...
is why, Stephanie, we've made so much progress. My God.
I mean, look
we
at
live
this
in Shangri-La.
Past... I mean, as horrible as Trump is, I hope this is a short, dark period in our history. And this last election, I mean, look at how many LGBT candidates, how many women, how many people
Think about
of color.
That. Yeah.
How many, yeah, I mean.
How could you forget George Bush Jr. like so quickly?
I know.
I mean, and Ronald Reagan so quickly. I mean, this is what I can't understand. I'm like, wait a second.
And Trump's ruined their party.
And Trump hasn't even invaded one country yet. No, that's what I don't understand. I'm like, he hasn't invaded a country.
So wait, here's the
you
thing.
You can't attack someone for what you think they might do. That's just...
So...
Trump's going, hold my beer, watch this.
Hold my beer. Okay, so wait, I want to get to the point, though, because it really, it's an interesting thing when you talk about that, you know, it's never good to be first through the door,
yeah.
the third person through the door gets all the money and whatever. Yeah, yeah exactly.
Barack Obama, for example.
Yeah.
Ellen DeGeneres.
But you talk about when you came out,
yeah.
you talk about, you know, you felt like you almost had to, it was an imperative in the times.
Yes,
because,
it was moral.
I mean, my high school boyfriend died of AIDS. He was one of the first guys that got it, and mm-hmm. I, you know, in the 80s.
Sorry.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, we all... Like,
yes.
But, you know, talk to us about that time and what that felt like.
I honestly believe that any gay man, my generation, is really laboring under PTSD. I think that almost all gay men of a certain age are deeply unwell. And we are never really going to get over it. I don't know if we ever really, truly will. I feel like we're war vets. And I don't think society today can quite, especially the young ones, can't quite get their hands around how terrible it was, because it means that society's going to have to look in the mirror and face what it did, which was turn its back on gay men and say, you are garbage, you deserve to die. And that was
many, many good people.
That was the 80s version of MAGA morons was, AIDS is killing the right people.
Worse.
AIDS is killing the right people. Remember the movie, was the Larry Kramer, right? Like where
Larry Kramer is like a god.
But the Reagan guy is going, this doesn't kill normal guys, right?
Look, there were like 50,000 dead men before Ronald Reagan mentioned it. And Ronald Reagan would joke. They have tapes of him joking with his aides about, you don't have it, do you? You had a lot of makeup guys touch your face. And I'm thinking, you're telling me that Donald Trump's worse than this? I reject that.
But you're right. That was, and Nixon, behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Trump's the first president, just puts it out there. His racism, his sexism, his homophobia, his horrible cruelty.
Well, then and think about all the people that are hiding it.
Yeah.
Think about all the people that are hiding it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's interesting you use the term war comic. your debut comedy album, Not a Fan, you said from fighting cancer to being gay, living in Trump's America, Thompson pulls from his own experience for his debut recording. Turns out I'm a bit of a war comic. When asked what that means, you said, I thrive in chaos and violence and pain. Right, at one point you joke about having sex with Vladimir Putin.
I'd love to.
Trump probably loves that part of you.
No, I don't think so.
Trump's jealous.
No, I don't think so. No, I'd love to. I love a mean Slavic daddy. So, I mean, I try to keep politics out of the bedroom, and I would have sex with him for peace. Like, I do it for money to help the world.
That's a good man.
Right? Whore. Like, I would do
that's it. Why do we lose Stan Lee? That could be a man whore that saves the world.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Buddy Cole suddenly got superpowers. He could have sex with any world despot, and I fuck Trump to death in front of the Onion Dome?
Oh, my God.
Please, fantastic. Would that not be a good thing?
Fantastic.
Not Trump, I meant Putin. Did I say Trump? I could not
sex
with Trump.
Go back in time to Hitler.
But Putin,
you know what, that mustache, I think, is not flattering. Let me shave it while I fuck you.
Ugly.
You've seen Putin riding around on that horse with his shirt off.
Yeah, I still do him.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. You know what you're getting into. Trump, you don't know what's underneath that suit.
Like in the Second World War, I might have done Mussolini, but not Hitler.
Yeah.
Mussolini for peace?
I apologize. So you're not a whore. I apologize. You would have fucked Mussolini.
He's still got standards.
Because I like Italian.
I apologize.
I want to get to the bottom of that cloaca rumor I've heard.
Italian men, Slavic daddies, not Aryan racist.
Okay. So let's talk about Scott Thompson's political incorrectness. Before it was cool. So you had a one man show that was supposed to open in New York. In September 2001.
Drink is going down very nicely.
It was about terrorism.
It was.
It was supposed to open blocks away from Ground Zero. The first monologue was about your relationship with Osama bin Laden.
Uh-huh.
I think it was something where you had sperm, thrown out of your mouth.
That was my poster, yeah. 10,000 posters went up on the 10th of September
so
with
that
cum
didn't
dripping down my face. I would have become a star overnight. And then Osama bin Laden ruined it for me.
I know they say comedy is timing and tragedy the distance.
Yeah.
What if you're ahead of it? Because you like
then you have a
literally,
you're,
literally
you're up too early
the jizz
again.
Coming out of your mouth. Literally,
you came
literally. The first piece was about Buddy Cole going to Afghanistan to take on the Taliban because he was furious that they blew up the statues. Because his buddy says, I mean, it's one thing to kill people, but statues of Buddha—that's just fat shaming. And I did this in 2000. And then the end game of the first monologue is Buddy Cole meets Uday Hussein, Saddam's son, at a weapons of mass destruction bazaar in Kabul, Afghanistan.
You're not the head of your time.
This is true. And they're fighting over a crystal decanter of anthrax because Buddy hears that it smells really pretty. So you can imagine why I got into trouble.
You know what? You're really, this is your new gig. You're like a psychic comedian.
I think
in a really horrific way.
A funny Nostradamus.
The only friend I have that was in a huge hit play about Princess Diana and was about to go to Broadway and then...
Who is this person? They sound like my kindred spirit.
This is like Jim Ward was in this.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Really?
Play about, yes. Princess Diana, you're like, what? It's like
literally a week
Vaughn, the guy that played JFK, you're like, no.
Okay. Yeah, Vaughn Meter, was that his name?
Yes, Vaughn Meter. Yes, we're old enough. Okay. So then the first show after that you wrote was The Lowest Show on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It was called after Lowest Show on Earth, it was called Catastrophe.
Scottastrophe.
That was about, pardon me.
Yeah.
That's about what happened with your relationship with your brother who committed suicide.
Yeah.
It was all about my dead brother.
And then you got cancer.
Yeah, that's all about my brother guiding me from the afterlife through all the darkness of my life,
okay.
And up until cancer, and then letting me know that I would defeat. And then later, I knew that I would defeat cancer because my dead brother is my guide.
Light fluffy stuff. Was it a musical?
My dead brother showed me in a dream 9/11 the year before. So I knew what was going to happen.
So couldn't he have told you to rewrite the show?
No, he didn't tell me that I would be there, that it would ruin my career for a number of years and give me a nervous breakdown. But I was definitely warned that it was going to happen.
He should have told you to open a year, like a month earlier, so you could at least made some money off of it.
Terrible brother, I know.
I had Ian Warwick on my show talking about the earthquake. I'm like, don't you have a whole fucking network of psychics? Someone have told you that? All right.
But I think that's about the subconscious. I think sometimes as artists,
yeah,
there are times in your life when you get very, very close to the center. And it can be very a dangerous place and can be quite terrifying.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what happened to me in that period of my life.
Yeah.
Somehow I was guided there. I don't know how. I consider it a spiritual journey. I was guided there somehow to take something back out of the darkness to help.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Well, I mean, I know. The whole thing of anybody in any other country we can't even absorb Donald Trump on a daily basis.
Well, I think
but having a pre-existing condition like cancer, like you're just like, this isn't even partisan. I don't understand the basic cruelty of what Trump and the Republican Party has become. That it's just,
I agree.
Fuck all y'alls that have had cancer. Fuck everybody that's not a rich white guy. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it's
definitely cruel. There's no question it's cruel. And for me, that's what stopped my experiment in America when I got cancer 9 years ago. I went back home because I didn't have health care. That was the end of it. Yeah. I was home within 10 days.
Yeah.
And I didn't come back until 2 years ago when Donald Trump was elected, when I went, I think they're going to need me now. So I heard
Scott
the call.
To the rescue.
The Batman logo went up in the air, and I went, okay, I'm going back.
It's a giant pink triangle.
Because I think you need outsiders.
It was a B for Buddy.
It was the BC for Buddy, right? Before Christ.
Christ and Buddy Cole.
And I really believe that you guys, I almost said you people, but that sounds so dismissive
racist,
nowadays.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But I think that you as a nation are in such a state right now that you need outsiders. You might even need some sort of an intervention.
I think UN election monitors Florida.
You do. You need a UN intervention like the Palestinians and the Israelis. If your guys don't want to end up in protracted, bloody warfare, you need to bring in a bunch of Canadians and Swiss to get you through it.
We bring poutine?
Sure you can, absolutely.
What is poutine? Is it a couch or a cheese?
Well, if you say it was a couch, it'd be a very comfy couch and a very squishy couch. Poutine is French fries.
Oh, I knew that, with cheese.
Cheese curds.
Okay, got it.
And
got
chicken it. Gravy.
Got it.
Yeah.
I was close. It was a couch or cheese.
Couch or cheese.
It's like the game Dead Gay or Canadian.
I know.
What this kind of a game is that?
I know.
That?
Dead or Canadian.
I don't like that.
No, you name someone as like, are they dead? Are they gay? Are they Canadian?
Can't be all three or two. Well,
best two out of three for you.
So what is the
name of your next show?
Dead Gay or Canadian. So the implication is that Canadians are
gay? No, it's
which
like
is,
no, because like
what
like,
does that mean?
Like Alex Trebek, dead gay or Canadian?
He's Canadian.
Right. Neil Patrick Harris.
See, it's fun.
Gay.
Right. Liberace.
Gay. But what if you were
dead
and gay? Well, so you can't be. What about both?
Okay.
I guess you can.
Let's talk about the other horrors that you lived through that are so ripe for comedy.
I know. I've been very blessed.
Jesus. So you went through a school shooting.
I did when I was 16.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
What? Yeah. The boy that sat behind me in my homeroom shot up my school. He killed 3 and he wounded 13. And I know, and I feel really weird. It's something I do. I'm doing it now in stand-up. I'm talking about it. I'm developing a whole routine. Because it's 40 years later. And it's really funny, and it's very applicable, and it doesn't hurt me anymore, right?
Yeah.
But what did Canada do after that?
Pardon me?
What happened in Canada after that?
After that, it was a huge story, obviously. Canada brought in very strict gun control.
Oh, what? Oh, you mean they did something?
Oh, it was very much like the Australian massacre.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And we brought in the long gun registry, and basically things like anything that repeated was banned, handguns
were
banned.
It didn't really happen again at the same level, you mean?
There have been shooting. There are worse ones. The worst one was a call Polytechnique in Quebec. where the man killed all the women. The
misogyny. That's
yeah.
New.
He hated women.
That's new in shootings.
That, yeah. That's brand new. But no, we have not been. I wouldn't say blessed, but we have not been gifted. No, we have not been cursed by the shootings that you have. Yeah. Our shooting did change the game. It changed things.
Did you see it? Did you?
I was running for class. I was late, and yeah, it was my class. And a teacher saved my life. I was coming around the corner, and I heard all the bullets, and I didn't know what bullets sounded like at the time. I had no idea, so I thought it was
fireworks.
Well,
that's what people
balloons.
Are saying. Okay,
yeah, and they do sound like fireworks. And I'm like, oh, balloons! Someone's having a party. And I kept going, and then I heard more gunshots, and they were closer. And I thought, oh, the party's on the move. And then I heard. I smelled gunpowder, and I thought, oh, how fun.
Wow,
there's
poppers.
Firecrackers.
Yes,
and I still did not know. And then people ran by me. Still no concept.
Wow, you are really lucky to be alive, because you're a dumbass motherfucker.
He literally was as close to me as you around the corner. Literally. Oh, and I remember seeing a big pile of blood pool and going, oh, there must have been a shop accident. Someone lost a finger. And then a teacher stuck his head out of a door, and this is very, I'm so lucky, and he said, get the fuck in here, and I'd never heard a teacher swear before.
You're like, oh.
And I went, this is serious. Oh. He said, fuck, and he grabbed me, threw me in the classroom, and that's where I spent the next 45
wow.
minutes until it was over.
Wow.
I mean, so,
can
yes,
you,
it was a
can
very
you, I mean,
profound
having
experience.
Been through that, can you imagine how often we go through this in America? Every week, I mean, all the time. We get to the point where we're like, oh, what's the body count? Oh, okay, well, that wasn't bad.
I'm thrown by everyone. The Thousand Oaks one has thrown me. I don't know why.
People that survived the Vegas one got killed there, one guy.
Because here's my thing. I'm doing it now, and it's fascinating to do it, because I think a lot of people go, it's not real. You can't possibly, this could not possibly have happened to you. But it did. But I've been very, in my life, I think I've been very, I guess, blessed, cursed, to have been
Right, got cancer, survived cancer.
But to have been affected by many of the great, fault lines in our society.
Yeah.
But I think it's given me a lot of empathy.
I feel like it's going to be ironic if he gets killed by a falling avocado when he leaves my house. Because that is very possible. Here.
I really want to die in a comic way like that. That's how I
want to
die.
Can you arrange that?
He's dead, but we got guacamole.
Survived a match.
Or like a durian with a smelly
and
one.
Also and also B-cell non-Hodgkin's gastric lymphoma. Here lies.
Large B-cell non-Hodgkin's gastric lymphoma.
Here lies.
Which is ironically my drag
victim
name.
Victim of guacamole.
But this is the thing. This is why I'm pretty happy.
I don't, and
I'm alive.
Like, because you're so funny. I just, when you were talking about running, I was like, and I just pictured you running in a gay way with your, you know, feet hitting your butt. And I was like, oh, not in a funny way. Oh, in a way where you were almost dead.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, no. I run in a normal way. I run.
In a manly way?
Manly way.
Yes.
When I run, okay. I pass. You have no idea.
Yeah. You're not like Tom Cruise?
Does he run really faggy?
He runs. He's spazzy.
Stop it. All right. Listen. So, all right, wait a minute. We haven't gotten to the next horror show. 2000, you were living with your then-boyfriend, French documentarian. You'd snuggled footage out of a rack to make a documentary about Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
And his home life. So then your home was under surveillance by a terrorist group in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
A terrorist group
in West
Hollywood?
Not hairdressers.
No. We were firebombed.
Right, firebombed. Yes. Go ahead. Tell the buckets of blood. Tell the
story. I was firebombed by we don't really know to this day, but I think it was an Islamic fundamentalist group the year before 9/11, which is what inspired me to write the show, which we referred to earlier about terrorism. That's what inspired it, the buddy cult, the show with all the characters. And we were firebombed by a terrorist group, and it was fascinating because it was a year before 9/11.
Yeah.
So the world was not really up to speed.
Yeah.
And I remember, when we called the police, they took 4 hours to arrive. This is in West Hollywood.
Where'd you live at in West Hollywood?
Yeah.
Hmm? Where'd you live at in West Hollywood?
Kilkea.
Right
below the Improv.
No, I'm a couple blocks from there.
And they came to our house. They covered. They filled the garbage cans, the big ones, right, with gasoline, set them on fire. They had buckets of red paint, and they splashed the house like blood, so it was like Carrie. And then they actually came in our house, and they put a note on the floor that said, "In the name of Allah, the merciful and compassionate, burn this satanic film or you will be dead." And the best part is they underlined dead, so like, oh, it's serious.
I was just going to say that, because otherwise that was very subtle. If they had not underlined dead.
Not the best. dead.
Did they throw tampons and say plug it up or no?
And, okay. And here's the thing. At the time, I didn't really understand what was happening. And none of my friends did. And I think most of my friends were like, Scott, are you kidding me? Stop
being such a drama queen.
That's right. Stop being a drama queen can actually have a dramatic life.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not believe me until 9/11 when people went, oh, yeah. Those God, you people. Are ahead of your time. But that is what happened to me. But it threw me so much that I wrote a show about terrorism, which led to the show, which got destroyed by Osama bin Laden in New York.
I think your show should be called It Sucks to Be Ahead of Your Time, based on everything we've heard
today. It does suck.
Jesus, you are.
School shootings ahead of its time?
All of it.
You gay are on TV walking, ahead of your time?
Yeah.
You are walking
Islamic terrorism?
It is, but it's funny, though. I mean,
you're a cautionary tale.
I am a cautionary tale. But the same, I'm here, right? I'm here. I feel vital. I feel relevant. I feel hungry, which is amazing. I used to be so bitter about my career never going to the next level, right, like everybody around me.
Right.
And now I'm
I've given up on that.
I'm so, Stephanie, here it is. Look at you. You've got your own show. You're living the life of Riley. You got a wonderful world. What are you complaining about?
I'm not complaining.
You have a wonderful world. And I look at it and I go, I'm so lucky that at my age, as a white male, I don't have to apologize. Right. What a superpower in this day and age.
Yeah.
And also to still be hungry for it.
Yeah.
When all around me, so many people that I know are much, much bigger stars, and they don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And they're always having to apologize for their money or their. And I don't
feel like I could have handled that level of fame. I think just this level of mediocrity is good for me.
And I don't have to apologize for anything. I can just go, wow, I can say whatever I want. This is great.
Maybe America could learn from you.
We have so much in common. Can I just say a couple things I picked from interviews? Because we are the same age. The first album you bought with your own money was Cat Stevens. Can I have Wild World or Oh Very Young? Because that's what I need to know mostly.
Which one?
Did you like Wild World or Oh Very Young better?
Well, I can tell you.
Go ahead.
Wild World.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. But you thought he was hot. We had a mutual crush. We had a mutual crush. Gay man, gay woman.
I love him. Cat Stevens, hairy, brown skin, Arab guy. Oh, yeah. Love him.
You said, honestly, I thought he was really cute. I thought he was incredibly sexy.
Look at him.
He was hot as hell. I didn't really like popular music.
I bet you like Jim Croce, too. He was hot at the time.
Time in a box.
And Frank Zappa, man. Those were hairy, mustachioed motherfuckers.
Yeah,
so gorgeous.
Now that I've lost everything to you, say you want to start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Baby, I'm leaving. But if you want to leave, take good care. Hope you make a lot of nice friends out there. But then a lot of nice things turn bad out there.
Here we go.
See?
Oh, baby, it's a wide world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile, girl.
Yeah. Come on. I love it.
Oh, baby, it's a wild world.
Oh, look at how beautiful he is.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember you like a child, girl.
And you see, it's interesting.
You're much older, like a couple years. Anyway. Give me Oh Very Young, too.
I love him. And then he converted to a Muslim. Yeah.
So now we're supposed to
hate
him.
He's totally my demographic. Oh, no, I love Muslim men. They need so much help from people like me. I do so much outreach to the Muslim community.
I love that you said, I didn't really like popular music that most of my friends like. I really like black music.
I did.
And during my childhood, that was suspicious. What?
Yeah.
You're a white guy who likes to dance? You must be a fag.
That's exactly what it was like. A white guy was not allowed to have rhythm. In my era.
What? You're only dancing on this earth for a short while. And though your dreams may toss and turn you now, they will vanish away like your dad's best jeans. Denim blue fading up to the sky. And though you want them to last forever, you know they never will. You know they never will.
Okay. As hard as steel. Okay. Speaking of dream jobs, okay. So for Happy Hour, not to name drop, in that chair was Carol Burnett.
Oh my! I saw the picture as I came in.
Yes,
that was thrilling.
Who's my idol? But you
Mine
said
too.
That was your dream job when you were a kid, working for Carol Burnett, making sure no one got into her dressing room. Wait a second, get out of here. Carol doesn't want you in here. That was would have been a great job doing anything for Carol Burnett.
Her daughter was sitting in that chair this morning.
Really?
Swear to God.
Jody's our good friend and our,
really?
Our show regular. And they, Carol just did, I don't remember any of it. And I was sober for that happy hour. I was just, you know how you are. You're like, Carol, Carol Flurn.
Was it Carrie Hamilton? Was that the name of her daughter that died?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Aaron sang Dreamweaver, the gay hit anthem from the late 90s.
Carol Burnett was my favorite. I still think the funniest thing.
Well, anybody in sketch, right?
Yeah, in sketch. The funniest thing I've ever seen in my life is Carol Burnett coming down the stairs wearing the curtains and the curtain rod. In the Gone with the Wind parody.
That's like so gay man.
Like it
in
is,
sketch. For a gay man in sketch comedy.
That's my intersectionality. There is nothing funnier and not my whole life is to try to capture that. To do something as funny as that gay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard to do that. What? Okay, I have so many... there's so many interviews you've done where I was
I've
got to talk about that.
Such a whore.
You've been doing a lot lately.
Yeah, you're an interview
whore. I'm trying so hard to get my foot back in the door.
Well, we touched on this, but I just love what you said. You say a lot of profound things, mister. when you talked about coming out, you said, I also think it was the times, it was the late 80s. It was like gay men were in the middle of a war, embedded in a society that was at peace. The idea that I could actually stay in the closet while this virus ravaged my community just seemed immoral.
Yes.
It felt like the only thing I could do was come out, so that's what I did, and I think I paid a huge price professionally, but I think my soul got a little bigger, if that makes
that's
any
like
sense.
That's like a,
that
a
is,
Grinch speech.
That is profound, what you said.
Oh, that's, thank you.
I mean, it really is true that it was, AIDS was one of the profound moral crises of our time.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you just said, and that, I mean, when I came out, I mean, I wasn't really... I mean, I was out to my friends and family. I just wasn't out publicly on the air. But it was the same thing. It was like sort of the intersection of, you know, everything we were talking about. Like, you know, don't ask, don't tell. Remember, I don't know, what time was it?
Which Clinton created, by
but
the way.
But I mean,
don't,
you know.
It was like midnight.
Don't ask, don't tell. And
right,
the defense
but I, same
Act.
Thing
That's
for me,
I
Scott, is I felt like I can't just say anymore I'm for this. I have to say I am this. I got to get down on the field and go, I am this. I can't just say, you know. You know, it's funny, Shelley Wright, I always say, was a big influence on me because she was this very feminine, sexy country western star who paid a big price professionally. Mm-hmm. But she said the same thing. She thought of this teacher that, you know, has to take, you know, Pepto-Bismol every night because if she comes out, she's going to lose her job in Kansas. And, you know, for people that can hide, like you say. Mm-hmm. For those of us that are not maybe necessarily a stereotype, you could have hid.
I could have hid. I absolutely could have hid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have hid if I wanted to. I could have had a really great career. But then I really believe that somewhere in my 40s, I would have been dragged out in a horrible sex scandal.
Yeah.
So I think I did the right
thing. Like what happened? Which one do you think it would have been?
Oh, which one?
Like, yeah, just tell us the details.
It would have been a sexting scandal or a sex party scandal. Any kind of sex scandal. At that time, I could have been involved.
He said he sucked more D last night than you've sucked in your entire life.
I know.
He had a good night. Don't get competitive with me.
But you know, but it is true. I really believe that, and I think I'm very lucky because I look at some of the men that I know that I won't. It's up to them to tell their truth.
Yeah.
And I think that they are wallowing right now in guilt over how they behaved, and I don't have to. I sleep well at night.
Yeah. Scott, okay. So, obviously, you talk about that a lot of it, like Buddy, you kind of were able to channel stuff through him that you felt like, you know, which a lot of like great sketch comedians like you do. But you, obviously, you came best known before Buddy Cole, but Queen, you played the Queen, obviously, Secretary Kathy, businessman Danny Huss, actress Francesca Fiori, the demented old man in Love and Sausages, which I loved. But so, how does that work for you for sketch? Like, you just, like, these are different parts of your personality.
Yeah,
that
I think
are,
so.
Yeah.
And people that I know and love. Like, I'm not like Mark McKinney, I think I just considered like a genius. He can take any voice, any kind of behavior, and just do it. He doesn't have to know the person, he doesn't have to be intimate with them. I have to practically sleep with the person, or, you know what I mean? Or be related to them, or be with them for a long time before I can. approximate any kind of an accent or whatever.
All I heard is you slept with the queen or you slept with a queen.
Well, here's the thing with the queen. I look like the queen. What? For that is, it's just genetic. Like, I just look like a Windsor. Like, it's just shocking, actually. And
that
I grew up
a little less inbreeding. I mean, you're handsome in person.
Well, thanks, but the queen's a handsome woman.
Yes.
You know.
But I love what you said. You said the time I grew up in, the time I came of age, was a very different time for gay people. You could not really be an openly gay comic and definitely not an openly gay stand-up comedian.
No.
It was almost impossible. So in many ways, Buddy Cole was that voice I used. It's interesting that many years later, I still use him, even though I do stand-up now, because I believe there are certain things that only Buddy Cole can tackle.
Mm-hmm.
There's things I can tackle, but not my instrument isn't as precise as Buddy's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And I do, like, now I do a piece that in my new show, which is called A Prelude Deluge, After the Flood. It's a Buddy Cole one-person show, and I do, like, 11 monologues from the end of the Kids in the Hall to the present day up until 2018. And I tackled things that I honestly can't. I could, but when I do it as Buddy, I get a Hail Mary pass. You know what I mean? People just go, he can say it. So the whole show ends with a piece called Too Far, which is about the Me Too movement. And I know that when I do those jokes, and I would try them out as myself, people would be very offended. But when an effeminate gay male takes women to task, people take it very differently.
Yeah. Well, you say this. One of my monologues is on toxic femininity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything now is about toxic masculinity.
Yes.
I like to be ahead of the curve.
I'm totally there.
I think
I'm already in the matriarchy.
I think the world hasn't quite realized a lot of feminism has curdled into hatred of men.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great ability to detect bullies, and I'm not afraid of calling them out, mm-hmm. regardless of who they are, man, mm-hmm. woman, gay, straight, black, white, thin, fat. Everyone's capable of it. Everybody screws up power. Everybody abuses it.
Yes.
And I thought, like, you're right, because Trump is so out there and in your
He's
face,
so
and there's so much inciting violence that you're right. You don't.
There's so many other lesser villains that are hiding so much better than him. And we have to be very careful. There's a lot of villains out there who have very, very lovely public faces. And I'm very wary of them.
Well, exactly. We keep, talking about it's like the Ghostbuster scene when they release all the ghosts, like all the hate, you know, all the homophobic, racist, sexist ghosts.
All over the all over the place.
We saw the numbers today. The hate crime statistics are back up again.
Way up.
For the second year in a row.
Yeah.
But I'm not just talking about the right. Once again, I'm talking about both sides are harboring enemies.
But you said this.
To humanity.
We might fight before
we have
makeup sex here. You said
I
certainly
love fighting.
Men do things that need to be called out, but this idea that one sex is bad, that's just bigotry. I really want to live in a place beyond identity mm-hmm. politics. Well, I will tell you that I'm a lesbian that has never had a bad experience with men. Works with men, loves men,
love men.
My best friends are men.
Have you had any bad experiences with lesbians?
Oh, yes.
There we go. Now that's interesting.
Oh, women are crazy.
Let's talk about that. One of the undiscussed things about lesbian culture.
Yeah.
There's a lot of domestic violence. Am I wrong?
I was a victim. My first long-term relationship, she's a wonderful person. The reason that ended is domestic. I've talked about it, not a lot, but domestic violence. And it was one time.
Yeah, and there's...
But you know, that's the thing where you go, you're right, you can't... Because I remember always thinking when I was growing up and assuming I'd be with a man, I thought, if a man hit me once... That's mm-hmm. it. I'd be out the door. That's important to empower women economically mm-hmm. and otherwise.
I never thought that.
It can't be different with a woman. You can't go, well.
Yeah, women shouldn't get a off scot-free for that.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Absolutely.
On that.
I think when I look at women and men, I see them as neutral. And I feel like, because I think a lot of problems with males, because we are so driven by sex, which maybe people don't want to accept, but it is very true. That we will forgive women for certain behaviors because you want pussy. And because I'm not after pussy, I don't have to couch my feelings towards women or my belief. Because I go, I don't care if their legs are crossed for me, closed forever. But most men are so desperate for sex. They will enable women, toxic women, because they don't want those legs to be closed to them. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm much more honest with women because I'm not worried about being denied access to pussy.
You also talked about, I can't remember which interview it was now, you talked about you think that the homophobia is not the same for women mm-hmm. because they want pussy. Same thing straight men want. They want pussy.
Yes.
And so it's, but I will say, and I will stand up for my, you know, I'm obviously lipstick lesbian. I stand up for my sisters. I think, like Shelley Wright and I talked about, homophobia is worse for women that can't hide. It's
like a Leah Delaria.
I will say for me, I mean, you know, I've had male comic friends say, guys want to fuck you. So you're not, you know, like, you don't suffer the same homophobia that women that automatically they can't hide.
Probably true.
But guys who pass or guys who are gay who stay in the closet probably get away with the same thing where they can actually, guys like, oh, bro out, yeah.
But I think
and
that
women want them,
society
so okay.
is right. much more conditioned to hate effeminacy more than they are masculinity in a woman.
Which applies whether you're male or female.
Well, I mean, Bill Maher did this joke when, you know, there was some lesbian couple that got married and they were both very pretty and feminine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did the typical guy joke, but
he
it was true.
He does a lot of typical guy jokes that way.
Right.
Because
but that's what he said.
He
said, when we say we're against gay marriage, we don't mean the hot ones.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought, I laughed, but then I thought, that's not okay for my gay sisters aren't necessarily
that
pretty
okay
or feminine.
I don't find that okay either. Because, and that's a certain kind of liberal homophobia,
because,
which you
because
see
that's
rampant.
That's the guy thing that, oh, those women just want me to watch them. And let me just tell you, no, we fucking don't.
Another kind of liberal homophobia that I find repellent is the constant referring to Trump and Putin as lovers. I find it repellent. I'm like, no, it's literally liberals thinking, yeah, I'm a liberal. I'm going to virtue signal. But I'm going, no, you're showing your deeply rooted homophobia because you believe that the worst thing that a male can be is a homosexual, and the worst kind of homosexual is a passive homosexual.
No, and I get
you're
it.
Actually revealing your really deep homophobia.
I mean, you know what? It's a weird thing.
So I don't like
now,
that. Trump
now we're
going to
have
like,
a fight that's going to cause
it. I won't do it.
It's going to cause
I will not
sex.
Attack anybody for their sex life.
Let's talk about Lindsey Graham. This is why.
I think it's repellent what they do.
That's what I'm saying. We are all guilty of it.
Not me.
Feel like he's clearly in the closet.
Not your business.
And he's okay. But he's homophobic. That's what
not
I'm saying.
Business.
It's the hypocrisy of that he's okay. But I get what you're saying is I know we all do the jokes. You said political correctness went away. Now it's back. It's mostly coming from the left, which I think is a betrayal. The liberals were the bedrock of free speech. Now it's turned on itself. Mm-hmm. That's what Bill Maher always says.
I agree
but
with
I feel
Bill,
like
100%.
He's anti-Muslim and he's anti-
No, I think that Bill brings up things about Islam that are problematic because Islam is not a race. It's not an ethnicity. It's a religion. It's a form of thinking. It's not the same as sexual orientation.
But you can't say political correctness is as bad on the left. I mean,
I do actually.
Okay, really?
Yes,
I mean,
actually do.
They're
believe.
Outwardly,
here's why,
violently anti-Semitic, racist, sexist.
It's what I feel. It's a more deeper and more personal betrayal.
What are you talking about?
Because I expected it on the right. I did not expect this on the left.
I get what you're saying.
So I'm betrayed personally.
Let's just
I think that the far left would
over.
No longer be able to handle a comedy magazine like National Lampoon any longer.
Well,
and I find that a betrayal of what we stand for.
But we always joke about, like, we're too liberal for conservatives and we're too politically incorrect for liberals.
Right.
We're theoretically a show that appeals to no one, and yet we have 6 million listeners, so I don't know.
There's a lot of us.
Well, it's funny. I was listening last night.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
I told you before the show started, I was listening to the old Buddy Cole bits from
you couldn't do a lot of those things today.
I was like, it shocked me when you used the word fag over and over again, and I was like, oh.
He used to say, hi, I'm Scott Thompson, I'm a fag.
That's how I came out on TV. Yes. I'm the fag.
And then the camera
ran away from me.
That's how I came out to myself. I faked an orgasm with a girl, walked in the bathroom, threw the condom in the toilet, looked at myself in the mirror and said, you're a fag.
You're a fag.
Wow. See, this is what I feel like Louis Anderson, you know, owned the whole being overweight. Like, he's like, I'm sweating, I'm sorry, but if I don't, I'll explode. Like, he just, you know.
We all know what he's really fighting.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it was part of your going on a fact. Just like, all right, that's out of the way. And it, you know. You're doing a show with all our beloveds that have been here, by the way, Uncabaret 25th anniversary show.
Oh, that's exciting.
Julia Sweeney, who was just here, Janine Garofalo, Bob Odenkirk, Maria Bamford, Greg Barinhart, Andy Kindler, who was just here as well, Allie Willis, our beloved, Laura Keitlinger, with our beloved Beth Lapidus, November 18th at the Theater at the Ace Hotel, which
that is
an amazing
lineup. That's a great lineup. Yeah. I'm excited about that. Beth Lapidus...
pardon me?
Patton Oswalt was just added to it.
Patton Oswalt just, I think Margaret Cho might have been added, I'm not sure.
She just did but Sexy Liberal with me.
Because that was that is the group where I learned how to become a stand-up comedian. I wasn't going to be. I thought that my crew would be like, oh, I'll just breeze into movies and TV, and I'll get to play all these characters. And then I realized, oh, no, I'm openly gay. I won't be allowed to do that. So I had to become a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And but it was Beth Lapidus and Uncabaret which opened the door for me.
Yeah.
Because I think she really deserves this.
For like a lot of
people.
Yeah.
She's one of the unsung heroes of comedy.
Absolutely.
And I'm thrilled that she's getting her due.
Yeah, no,
I'm thrilled
absolutely.
About this show.
No, absolutely. We just had her on, and she's, yeah, I mean, I've done it. You guys have all, it really was such a laboratory for so much brilliance,
really
including
was.
You.
It was quite something. It really was quite something. I saw so many amazing people there. And people that were not stand-up comedians, but learning that they could be. And I think I'm one of those people that just went, well, I guess I might be able to do this.
Yeah. But listen, we're going to fuck it out, bitch. Let's just do that right now.
Oh, definitely.
Because I feel like I just...
Huge sexual
We disagreed on just enough.
Just enough! Just enough.
Who's the top?
That's what's gonna be so hot. Even that's gonna take like a half an hour.
That's the best part.
All right, Scott Thompson, what a thrill, what an honor. I feel like your family, man. I really do.
I do too. Thank you,
Scott Thompson. Kids in the Hall, and just general brilliance and amazingness. And love you, baby.
Love you too. Thank you. This is great.
Happy happy hour. Debt. You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it, right? Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans makes it nearly impossible to pay off all your debt. And insane inflation keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with Debt is your lifeline. Done with Debt has an ingenious new strategy to help erase your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Done with Debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce bills. They know how to cut interest rates. Their skilled staff of negotiators knows how to get debt out of your life permanently without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with Debt. They're the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. Time to finally get some sleep. Time to rest easy. Here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. One more time. DoneWithDebt.com. Do it now. DoneWithDebt.com.